grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon Him and leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, He's on His throne. Have faith in God, He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail, He must prevail. Have faith in God.
Turn in your hymnals to 175. We'll sing this, and then Brother Lanny will come.
Can it be? Hallelujah! What a
mend this mouse in my pocket. Our group on Wednesday night talked about the possibility of us having something else on Wednesday night until Awana starts. Threw some ideas around, and perhaps we would have a family movie night. We would show a movie that is family-oriented in some way. And there's lots of them out there. We've got Right Now Media. There's several movies that I don't even know what the group's name is, but this church in Georgia that has produced several movies. And we've seen several of those. We've seen some of them here at church, watched some of those here at church. So anyway, we're going to try to have a kickoff Wednesday night and see how this comes out. We're going to need some help. One way you could help is come. Brent and Jennifer are going to be in charge of the popcorn, so if it's a big flop, you know who to blame. We're going to have water and soda pop, doing a revival at a church over in by Marshall, and the pastor did everything. Now, y'all are not used to that. But he obviously thought that was what his job was. And in a little while, about the second night, I said, you're doing way too much. I said, you got some people here that'll do that, and you need to turn some of this responsibility over to them. I mean, if we was going to have pizza for the kids, he took complete charge of it. He got it all. He did everything, brought the drinks and the pizza and just did it all. And we was going to have ice cream. Well, he started, and I told him, I said, this will kill you, and you won't be able to last like this. And you've got folks that'll do it. We've got folks that'll do it. Amen? Yeah, we do. So I'll tell you what you need to do. We need about 5 or 6 cases of soda pop. So go to town if you have to and get whatever you drink, and we'll help you with it. If it's non-alcoholic. We'll get some water, and I'm going to go myself and do the same thing, but I'm not going to get it all. So, and what we don't use Wednesday night, we'll gather some of this stuff up and we'll use it for the rally. And so think about that when you go to get groceries and pick up some extra for the church, and we'll have that. I suggest that you bring your lawn chair. Sitting in one of those folding chairs can get uncomfortable after a while. That's my plan. If I can think of it, that's my plan. I'm going to bring a lawn chair. But we're going to watch a movie Wednesday night. Now, the name of it's The Overcomer. The Overcomer. We may do what's that series that's going on right now that we've been watching? The Chosen. There's a possibility of that. There's a possibility of some of these others that are out that are really good that we'd be able. But the main thing is the fellowship. And we're going to talk about that tonight and how we might hoop that up. There's things that I think that we need to continue to do to build up our fellowship. Larry.
I put 3 stuff after our lunch.
Okay. Okay. I was thinking maybe we'd get one of those big coolers and fill it with ice and just put water and pop in that, but we can sure do that other too. Yeah. Y'all remember about once a month we'd go and get pizza and drive the cheese wagon? We had an old bus years ago. I don't know how many years ago, several years ago. We had an old school bus we'd bought from Alpena School. And it was, of course, it was yellow school bus when we got it. And the kids called it Cheese Wagon. And some guys got together and painted it, Max and Earl and Bill Hall, and they changed the name of it. Had to change the name of it. Changed it to the Cottage Cheese Wagon. And we took that thing on several trips. You know, that it went to St. Louis and Kansas City and Hot Springs several times, and to Harrison lots of times. And we'd get together a lot of times on Sunday night when Ken's Pizza was operating, and we would go and eat pizza after church on Sunday night, and it built up our fellowship. People came, and of course we were all a lot younger then, weren't we? But we want to do some things that will build up the fellowship, and this is going to be one of them. We're doing other things. I mean, we've got the car show coming, got Awana coming. And you need to be involved in those things. There's always something that you can do. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, the second chapter. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm going to finish what I started this morning. And then next, we're going to move back some. Instead of forward, we're going to move back some next Sunday to Acts 1:8 and talk about Acts 1:8 and a little more about the blueprint of the church and how that got started. So if you'd like to, stand with me. Brother Mike says if it's convenient for you, stand with me. And just one verse. I'm going to read some others, but just one verse for our lead-in here. In Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And what's that next word? Fellowship. Fellowship. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. You may be seated. Now I'm going to get into that just a little bit more. I want to hit just a little bit. When I preach in Acts, I usually, there'll be someone that'll ask me about tongues, because we've mentioned those several times in the preaching, so I want to tell you what I believe about that, and you can take that and I don't know how much a dollar I guess and get a cup of coffee at McDonald's. In 1 Corinthians the 14th chapter and the second verse, Paul said that tongues are for a sign to the unbeliever. I'm going to have to give some money to missions here or something. I don't know. Was that me or somebody else? Oh, it was y'all. Okay. I don't usually carry a phone on Sunday, but I was making sure my wife didn't have any trouble before she got here. Tongues are for a sign to the unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. I want to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 13. That's a very familiar passage to you. It's the love chapter. But I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. I use the Amplified for a help. I make reference to it when I'm struggling with something. And this is what it says, beginning with verse 8. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. That's going to be from now on, sounds to me like. I think that's what heaven's all about. I think we're going to experience love even in a greater way than we've ever experienced it, because we experience it without any sin attached to it. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purposes, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. Some translators say that they'll cease of themselves. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect total comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away because of antiquities, void and superseded. I know that folks don't agree with me. Some folks don't agree with me about tongues, and that's fine. I don't want to make a big issue out of that, but just to say what I believe, I think there's two things that are perfect. And here in this passage in Corinthians, Paul said, when that which is perfect is come. We know that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. He came and died on the cross for our sin. He's also coming again. And he's going to set up a 1,000-year reign here on this earth. I believe it'll be perfect. He's perfect, and that's perfect. Heaven's going to be perfect. So I think that there are some things that are absolutely perfect, and Jesus and heaven is one of those things. I believe that the 1,000-year reign is a perfect time. It's going to be a time without sin. I believe there's one other thing that's perfect, and that's the Word of God. Now, when Paul was writing his letter to the church at Corinth, he had the Old Testament. When Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, when he's writing to Timothy, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, did he have the New Testament? No, he didn't have the New Testament. He's talking about the study of the prophets and the Old Testament. He's talking about study of the Word of God. Now we have what we call the canon of Scripture that we believe is perfect, that we believe that it is wrong to add anything to it, and it is wrong to take anything from it. And so I believe when Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and he says there's going to come a time when that which is perfect is come, there's not going to be a need. These other things are going to play out of their own. And when the Scripture is given, I believe, then these other things do not have the need that they had before the New Testament was given and the Bible was complete. So let's go back to the blueprint now in Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. They were continually devoting themselves to these things. They were continually devoting themselves, number one, to the apostles' teaching. We make a tragic mistake when we get away from the teaching of the Word of God. I think that there are some things that we need to be about. And Awana is one of those because it teaches the Word of God, and children memorize God's Word. I believe that Bible drill is another thing that we need to be involved in. Now, I believe we need to have Sunday school. I believe we need to have Sunday school for our young people and teach them the Word of God. And we need to have Awana, and we need to have Bible drill and teach the Word of God to our young people, that they get it under their belt, that they are able to, whenever they get out in society, be able to draw from that. There's going to come a time that you're going to be tempted to do that which is wrong. The Bible says, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. And so when you are tempted and that scripture comes into your mind, you know there's a way of escape here. There's a way out. There's a door. There's a window. There's something. I'm not to fall into this gap of temptation. I'm to escape from it. Other people have faced it, and they have escaped. Some have fallen. So we're to be about the business of teaching the apostles' teaching, what Jesus taught. Go into all the world and preach the good news, the gospel. Proclamate the gospel. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. The Word of God is to be taught in the church and in our home. I think that we can do much more in our home than we can at church because we have a longer time to do it. If we are going to combat what is being taught in the public school, and I give myself this out, there's lots of good godly school teachers that are teaching what is right and that are doing what is right. But in many, many schools, children are being taught that which is wrong and contrary to the Scripture. And we are to combat that. We are to put it in our kids' mind what they should know. You have to start early on that deal. I keep going back to this deal of us taking kids in, but some of them have been taught a way of life, and they are rigid in that. We had a sibling group a while back that would not eat at McDonald's. They would not drink store-bought milk because they had been taught that by their parents that was wrong. I'm telling you, parents have a real strong weapon that they need to be using with their children and with their grandchildren. So the apostles' teaching. The next thing was the fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' fellowship. What is fellowship? Somebody said it's two fellows in a ship. What is fellowship? Well, in the church, and that's what we've been talking about, the blueprint of the church. In the church, there's a fellowship that is unique to every other fellowship. There's nothing else like it. Because you see, if you are born again, and I'm born again, we have a kindred spirit that touches, goes beyond anything that we can imagine. Did I say something wrong? Y'all straighten up over there. I'm real apt to say something wrong. A kindred spirit that goes beyond anything that you and I can get anywhere else. So we're to continue this fellowship. And I think that it takes an effort on our part. We have to be, what's that word? Intentional. We have to be intentional about our fellowship. We were talking this morning about how we needed to build up and teach our young people, our youth that are coming on and doing the right thing in their life. It reminded me of the guy that his king had given him so much money, and this one doubled it, and the other one done better than that, and one of them buried it in the ground, his talent in the ground. And the Lord called him a wicked servant. We need to do with what we have to do with. Do we need 100 youth in order to put all of our effort into the youth and into the children? No. We need to do it with what we have. We need to put our efforts into the ones that we have. And that will build from that. And then the breaking of bread. You can't tell from this passage whether they're talking about the Lord's Supper or taking a meal together. And it could be both. I think that perhaps it's talking about taking a meal together. And then praying together. We're to continue steadfastly in that. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." In John 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us." Back to the blueprint. The makeup of the congregation is to be a saved membership. Look with me at Revelation 2 and verse 14. He's writing to the church here, and he says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Because thou hast them." They were people among them that were believing the wrong thing. The church is to be made up of the saved. Look at 2 Corinthians 6. Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Listen, let's see. Actually, verse 15 also. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. I don't know how to stress this anymore. Do not date an unbeliever. And urge your children to not date unbelievers. We stressed it with our kids when they were growing up, when they got to the dating age. They were urged to date believers. Look at Acts 2 and verse 38, back where we're at. When they said, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's stand together. Brother Roger, will you dismiss us with a word of prayer?